Today is December 2nd, 2021. It's approximately 1 p.m. This is the matter of an appeal of a planning director's approval of an application in file Z0434-21-HO, home occupation. My name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed by the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners as a land use hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. I'll state for the record that I've not received any ex parte contact in this matter, meaning no one contacted me outside of these proceedings to try to persuade me concerning a fact or a matter which is present in this hearing. I've considered issues of bias or conflict of interest, and I've determined that I have no bias in this matter or any conflict of interest whatsoever. I'll note that the county is making a record of the hearing. That record is available through the county. I'll make a statement about the hearing, and then I'll ask the county to provide a statement concerning participation via the Zoom platform. This is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in this hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to this decision. Accordingly, please direct your testimony to a relevant approval criterion. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. At this time, I'm going to ask the county to provide an explanation concerning participation via the Zoom platform.
Hey, thank you. I'm just going to read this. It is a script, and I'm going to read it because I'm required to read it. It'll take me about a minute and a half. Thanks for your patience. Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, the applicant, both have audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator, that's Darcy. Audience members' videos will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded. The county will make every effort to post the recording as soon as possible. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, please utilize the raise hand feature, or if you're on video, just raise your hand, that's fine. But just let us know somehow. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin so we can send you a copy of any decision. Staff will call up, Once you've provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing, which it will since we're doing that just as a matter of course with these Zoom things, and you wish to submit additional written testimony, send that testimony preferably to me. And I'm going to, when we're done with the hearing at the end there, I'm going to give my email address and snail mail address. It'll just get into the record faster if you send it to me. And that concludes the, wait a minute. Yep, that concludes the Zoom script. How's that? That was a brief version.
Okay. Were there any questions concerning that? You can use your raise hand feature. Yes, Dr. Nolan.
You know, in your opening statement, you're saying you're only looking at the Clackamas County criteria for this specific home ownership business operation. But if you haven't read my briefs, there are major safety concerns that are not being covered by those Clackamas County things. And that was the majority of my objection to this. And if you are saying now you are not even going to address that, you're wasting my time. We have major safety issues on the road leading to this property. There are other safety issues
that are
addressed, and they have not been answered whatsoever. You're interrupting me. You won't let me talk? Is that how you conduct this meeting?
Will you please?
I don't feel like participating if that's how you're going to run this meeting. You won't even let me make a statement.
Thank you. To answer, that is not at all what I said. I have certainly reviewed all of the materials that were provided in the packet that was posted online. That included the original application, staff notices, that also included the staff's decision, and it included your appeal in addition to the written comments that you had already made. And it also included the comments made by a different neighbor as well. I've reviewed all of those materials. What I said is a relevant approval criteria. Now, a number of the paragraphs that were included in the original written commentary and in the appeal are not addressing those criterion. I'll specify what that is in my written decision. But generally, your issues that you've raised concerning noise and concerning safety of traffic in the area are relevant to these proceedings. And I will receive testimony and evidence concerning those pieces. Okay? If you disagree with one of my decisions concerning the different issues that were raised in your appeal, then I'll provide an opportunity for you to discuss that with me, but not to just interject and interrupt. All right. The proceedings are that I'll ask the county to begin the hearing by presenting the county staff report and the county's review of the application and the county's review of your appeal and what the county's position is on the issues in that appeal. Then as the appellant, I will provide an opportunity similarly for you to raise the arguments in your appeal, to provide discussion, evidence, testimony in support of the issues raised in your appeal that are related to those criteria. Then I'll provide possibly a rebuttal period for the county if the county asks, but I will certainly provide the applicant with an opportunity to have the last word in this matter. All right, let's proceed with first the county's presentation.
Okay, and I'll be brief. I think we all know why we're here. And just for the record, there's 10 of us here. We've got the applicant, we've got the appellant,
okay,
the county staff, we've got the hearings officer, and we also have several other attendees present. Right. This is an appeal of a home occupation application. It was approved by staff. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to look at that decision because that's what this entire hearing is being held on. Staff made approval, found that all the applicable criteria were met or could be met through conditions, and approved the application. Let me, here we go. All right, so the application is generally, it's called Thrive Therapeutics, Thrive Outside. The applicant is here and can explain the use much better than me. I'm not going to try. But basically, it'll be indoor and outdoor, approximately 4 to 10 hours per week. Maximum one-way vehicle trips per day is listed as 6. Total of 4 automobiles involved with the activity, including the applicant's property, is at 13100 Southeast Laurie Avenue, which is along the east bank of the Willamette River, kind of in behind Roseville off River Road there. It's zoned R10, single-family residential. Typical use in this area, it's a little kind of an enclave, really. It's single-family residential. There's a variety of other uses in the near vicinity, though, including Roseville. There's a sewage treatment plant a little bit further south. There's the railroad bridge, just to give some context, just south of this. Railroad tracks winding just south of the property. It's this property right here. Here's the railroad. Well, the railroad bridge is right here. That's a cross section. The railroad bridge is right here. far as the site plan for the use, there's not going to be any significant external change. There's a house on the property now and a couple of outbuildings. The applicant submitted a site plan showing general use areas such as for parking. Again, there's the exterior changes required here would be minimal. As far as criteria, they're found in the underlying zone, single family residential, which is what it's zoned and what's allowed outright there. That's section 315 of the zoning code, which does allow this type of use under a variety of criteria. The applicant chose to go through home occupation. There were a couple of other routes also possibly allowable here, childcare, school, that kind of thing. Section 822 is the main code section. It deals with home-based businesses generally, including this type of use that the applicant has opted to apply for through a home occupation permit. As I mentioned, staff went through the criteria that applied from each of these sections and was able to come to a decision of approval. Subsequently, that was denied. Now, there's the loudspeaker is still going in the background about there's someone in the building now.
Hold on. There's someone in the building.
Yeah, that's right, but they're detaining them. It's just a scratching in the background. It's not a concern for me. What I want to do is show you something else. Okay, can everybody see this aerial I just put up? Okay, so here's the subject property, existing house. The proposal was to change the use, to add a use to this existing residential use that the applicant can describe better than I can. And with that, I think I'm done. I'm just here to defend the decision itself.
Okay. I plan to provide an opportunity for the appellant at this time to raise issues. Are you saying it would be more useful to provide the applicant with an opportunity to discuss her proposal?
It might get us all on the same page if we know what we're talking about. Okay. To begin with.
Yeah, and I do have a couple of questions for the applicant that may be useful as well. I'm going to go ahead and do that. And if there is anything raised here that is different than the appellant thought, then I certainly will provide an opportunity for the appellant as well. Do you prefer Ms. Taylor or?
Yeah, or Aaron is great. Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to provide this opportunity for you to provide a description of your proposed use. And I do have a question specific that I want to make sure that I get some clarity on before we begin. And that has to do with the trip calculation. You said a maximum of four vehicles, which I understood to include your own vehicle. So you anticipate up to three vehicles coming and going that are people that are associated with the services you are proposing to provide, correct?
There would be one vehicle at a time in addition to my personal vehicles.
One vehicle at a time.
Yes.
Okay, so let me make a note. Okay, per vehicle. One additional at a time. Then, my understanding of the description of services is it will be children presumably transported by an adult with a driver's license. So we have a car arriving on the scene with, for example, a parent and a child. Mm-hmm. Then the parent stays during the provision of the services. And then, so that would mean that for you to provide services to one of the children that is enrolled in the program, you would anticipate that car to come one time, bring the child, wait until the services are completed, and then depart with that child.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for providing clarity. Okay. Cool. We'll come. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. And yes, I'll provide the appellant an opportunity to address that as well, but I want to maintain the order of proceedings. Go ahead.
Are you referring to me?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, hello. My name is Erin Taylor, and I'm a pediatric occupational therapist, and I work one-on-one with children in nature and indoor environments to help children who have challenges and some disabilities to create more calm, coordinated, confident children that will be contributing members to our society. I work one-on-one. My sessions are 1 hour long, and I will have a maximum of 3 people a day coming to the property.
Okay. Okay. You said also you anticipate then that's how you get your calculation, 1 hour long, maximum of 3 per day. So a maximum of 3 per day. And you said a maximum of 10 hours per week in your application.
Yeah, that would be the absolute maximum. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you would anticipate, for example, that you might be open 4 days a week for, where you might see 2 children on some days and a 3rd child on some days, and somehow reach maybe 10.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay. Maybe. I just was looking for some clarity on just what that meant, not 4 to 10 hours at a time, but 1 hour at a time.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Is that your description of your services? And
yeah.
You answered my questions.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. At this time, I'd like to provide the appellant an opportunity to provide evidence and testimony concerning appellant's the issues raised in the appeal. Please unmute his microphone. There.
Okay. I am Dennis Nolan. My family lives in a house about 10 feet from the property line of the proposed permit.
Yep. And sir, before we begin, I just want to make sure that we're off on the right communication. I want to provide you an opportunity to submit evidence and testimony. I want to help to direct your testimony, the things that you present, to criterion that are part of this review. So I'm not trying to be combative here. I want to focus your time on the things that are relevant to the approval criterion. So I
have read the paragraphs that Mr. Glasgow has stated.
Perfect.
And I have noted other issues, safety issues that are not included in that criteria. So what do you want me to do? Ignore that? Ignore safety issues? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not telling you that. I am saying that you should direct your testimony in the time here to things that are relevant to these proceedings.
So why would I include things that aren't relevant? Am I an idiot? Please give me some respect. I mean, you're insulting me. Why would I say stuff that is not relevant, that has not safety concerns? My God, please, can I give you a statement now? The response we received from Clackamas County on the conditional approval of the permit contained numerous spellings and mistakes. 2 Clackamas County names appeared in this letter that they are clearly submitting inaccurate information without further clarification that we've requested is very disappointing. From an official government office correspondence. Nothing has been sent to me to clarify those mistakes. I can't interpret it even what they're responding and telling me. The responses provided to the permit applicant were ambiguous, subjective, and no exact numbers provided. Only estimates were given. For example, where noise levels were asked for, they stated normal playground noise. What is normal playground noise? School ground play areas are sited away from residential houses specifically to prevent noise exposure to them. The technical review of this permit was deficient in not using exact facts and is unacceptable. Professional monitoring of excessive noise is impractical to achieve. The excessive noise will be randomly generated. Any professional arriving to monitor the noise will be noticed, and the children will be advised to be quiet. We expect this to be a continuing problem. It will never be corrected, and we constantly disturbing us and a nuisance to all the surrounding properties. The review to permit application did not address any of our major safety concerns. Specifically, lack of a barrier to prevent children wandering onto our property. Lack of any checks relating to potential, any type of abuse to these children with respect to this business. Lack of any liability evidence in case a child is hurt off-site. Lack of any evidence of property insurance for off-site damages. And lack of any review of Lori Avenue for the tremendous increase of traffic for a business in a residential area with morning delivery and afternoon pickup periods. This especially critical to Rose Villa Retirement Compound, who does not even appear to have been contacted about this. Despite the significant impact on the elderly living there, who routinely walk in and around the Lori Avenue and many golf carts on this road, which I've submitted a diagram to emphasize the concern. There's an extreme hazard to driving through the one-lane road underpass with no sight distance forward. You cannot see ahead when you drive through that underpass. This is a dead-end street that has no speed limit posted on it once you enter it from Courtney Road. I'll repeat, no speed limit sign from Courtney Road along Southeast Lori Avenue through the retirement compound, through the underpass, to the end of the dead end. No speed limit is posted. Am I, can we drive 50 miles an hour through there? 75 miles an hour through there? You're asking for an accident to happen. By approving this permit, you are accepting increased road hazards on this road from traffic and without any necessary safeguards. Due to the unnecessary risk to our safety with this underpass, there is certain to be noise above 60 decibel limits and the clear lack of protection for both the children and their neighbors with regards to liability. We demand that this application be denied outright. Anything less is completely unacceptable. We will hold Clackamas County, the county individuals who reviewed this permit, the property owner, and the permit applicant responsible should any incident occur due to lack of any response to our safety concerns regarding this permit for bodily harm, property damages, and undue distress to us. It doesn't matter if you don't want to address it now. If something happens, you will be liable. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I took notes, and I've also, as I stated, had an opportunity to both read your initial written comments, and I read through carefully through each of the paragraphs on your appeal. At this time, since we do have members of the general public, I'm going to ask that if there is a member of the general public that is here to provide testimony today relevant to these proceedings, that they use the raise hand feature, and you'll have that opportunity at this time. Members of the general public.
Do you see that, Darcy?
I do. I see Dan Ford.
Dan Ford. So when you're called upon, the mute feature will be you'll be provided an opportunity to speak. Please state your name and address if you haven't already provided your address to the county. Actually, just state your name and address and then provide testimony.
Certainly. Sorry about that. Thank you, Mr. Cox.
Let's give him a minute to sort out that strange special effect. Not everyone is that comfortable using video chat or that familiar with it, and we need to be a little patient.
Mr. Ford, you seem to have yourself muted. and your microphone is set at a very high level.
Apologies, is this better?
Yep, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Cox, and everyone for your patience with that computer issue. I apologize. This is Dan Ford. My wife, Steffi, and I own the property for the applicant, as well as a neighboring property, 13108 Southeast Florey is our property address. And I just wanted to say the neighborhood does have children. We have four children at our home. The noise from children is, I would say, pretty standard in a neighborhood, in a residential area, and we expect play to be allowed. Certainly outside is a preference I always have for children to play, and we live in an area where they should be outside. We all have significant yard and property around here, and we enjoy being outdoors with our children. Another thing I just wanted to share is we've had great support from our neighbors outside of the appellant, but the neighborhood is all come and checked in on us and have largely met with Aaron as well. And so I just want to thank the neighbors that are on this call today, as well as that have just reached out and provided support. So we encourage Aaron's business. We don't have any issues with it, and we're in full support of the program, and know that the amount of traffic that is expected is, frankly, probably less of an impact than the Amazon trucks or any of the other several delivery services that come down our way each week and every day. So thank you for your time and consideration, and we're available if there are any questions for us as well.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other members of the general public? Please use the raise hand feature.
Yes, you see that, Darcy?
Yes, Clay. I have Eric Gross.
Hi, how's my, is my mic working okay?
Yes, and yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Gross. Myself and my wife, Carrie, own the property that is opposite of Mr. Nolan's, abuts to the property in question, 13110 Southeast Laurie Avenue. And, I guess we would just voice our comment that we have no objection to the activities that are being proposed. In fact, you know, we've seen improvements in the property since the ownership has changed and Aaron has moved in. You know, I think it should be noted that the previous inhabitants of the house were, had an illegal grow, and we had incessant traffic coming in and out. And I've actually seen a decrease in traffic from my perspective. We don't anticipate any issues with the increased noise, but of course that's our own opinion. You know, we just wanted to make sure that we, you know, we're here to voice our support for the petition. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there another member of the general public here to provide testimony?
I don't see any more hands.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me. I see Megan Payment.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Megan Payment. I live east of the property, across the railroad tracks. And do you need my address?
Yes, please.
1345 Southeast Denny Avenue. And I don't have a lot to say here, but I'm in full support of Aaron's business proposal. And I don't see any issues with any of the proposed traffic increase. It sounds very minimal. And we have four children at our house, and I love hearing the sound of children playing outside. So that's all I have to say today.
Thank you.
I do not see any more hands up.
All right. Dr. Nolan, I'd like to provide you an opportunity to clarify any of the statements you made or provide a rebuttal to the statements made by your neighbors. And then I'll provide the county and then the applicant a similar opportunity.
Thank you for the opportunity to rebuttal. I'd like to re-mention again that our house is only 10 feet from the property line of where this permit is. In the past, we've already heard children screaming almost on a daily basis that has disturbed us. Two little girls. The other property houses are hundreds and hundreds of feet away from this location. You can look on a tax assessor's map and verify that. Okay, so we are directly impacted from the noise level. I don't know what's happened here.
I think we have a view put up by the county of the map so that probably so that we can see your dip, how close your property is.
You can see my house directly south on that map. That's it.
Just right there.
Yeah. Okay. Now look at Mr. I believe it's Mr. Gross's house. He says he's way up here at the front of his property, down a hill. We're down a hill.
Wait.
That other woman is talking about she lives on the other side of the railroad track.
Let me get a little clarification.
Okay, go ahead and interrupt me.
No, I don't understand where your house is, sir. And I was going to ask you for clarification because the cursor for the map, I think, was pointing it to the north. I just want to make sure that I understand what you're saying.
I believe this is Mr. Nolan's house right here.
To me, that's to the north. But I'm not
positive. My house is to the south of the property.
Okay, so on the other side of the cursor, I see the water treatment facility.
Mr. Glasgow, could you point to the permit location?
This is the subject property right here.
Yeah, and my house is directly below that. Directly. That's my house right there.
Right there. Okay. Thank you, sir. It wasn't clear to me which direction you indicated, Dr. Nolan. And to be fair, I'm not personally familiar with your property and your neighbors. So I wanted to make sure I had the correct one.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Could I also, again, rebut the traffic issue?
Yes.
On the application, it said she estimated 6 people. Now I'm hearing a totally different story. And these delivery trucks come random times. That's true that Mr. Ford said. But now I'm going to have a child being dropped off and picked up every hour. Is that what I'm hearing? 3 times a day? Okay, so traffic is being increased significantly. This is a one-lane railroad underpass. No warning signs to slow down. No warning signs to honk your horn. I've had, on numerous occasions, cars coming up the road through the underpass while I'm coming down the road. Near misses all the time happening. And I would challenge Mr. Gross, Mr. Ford, any other person to say that that hasn't happened to them. There is absolutely no safeguards. This underpass was designed over 100 years ago. It's not meeting current traffic regulations. You're inviting an accident to happen. No business should even be allowed in this neighborhood, regardless of what it is. I've mentioned to other associates of mine, there is no fencing on this property where this operation is supposed to be occurring. They said to me, what if the child runs off that property and runs down to the river and drowns? Who's responsible? I don't know who. They can run on my property. There's no locks or gates to prevent them from going down to the river and getting it. Who's going to check on that? They could be the lady operating this business could be distracted by her own child. You know, that child starts screaming, she's going to spend attention to her. The other children might run off, not being attended to. You're opening up to liability big time here. I tried to emphasize this. Do I have to spend the money myself to put a fence up, a proper fence? I put a little bit of chicken wire up now. That's not going to stop kids running off. There is no barrier on either side of this property to prevent a child from running down to the river and drowning. You know, we hear their children crying all the time, and that is not stopping. About 5 days ago, the child was at our property line yelling, hi, Dennis, for 20 minutes. I never met this child before in my life. Why is she yelling at me? I don't know what's going on there. It's insulting. There's some issues. I'm not going to get it. We'll get distracted and something will happen. I'm just trying to warn you. Something's going to happen here.
You've touched on issues specifically around liability and noise and traffic safety, including the access road to the property that goes through the underpass. Are there any other statements or evidence that you want me to consider? And I will remind you that I did, in fact, read both your written comments and I read your appeal, and I'll address those things.
Okay. If this approval goes ahead, we should see written evidence of insurance for the issues I'm talking about.
From the city.
I think Dr. Nolan's connection.
Thank you for reminding.
Dr. Nolan, your connection faded there for about 20 seconds. But I think I heard your final comment. It had to do with,
Okay. I just was saying, I appreciate the insurance. I wanted verification of proper liability and property insurance. And I want to also say that I appreciate that you confirming that you've read all my written documents on this matter.
Okay. I'd like to provide the applicant an opportunity to, in a sense, have the last word at today's hearing and rebut any of the statements that were made, and I'll consider your own testimony as well.
Thank you. I do. I would like to just fully say that my business does fully comply with all the standards outlined in this land use proposal. In the application, it asked for one-way trips, and so that is where I came up with a number of six, and for a maximum of three people a day, which will all be one-on-one services. Which means one individual at a time with me, the therapist, who has been a therapist for many years. I also would like to note that there is a fence that goes down to the water. And so I would like to note that. And I just want to say that I am really looking forward to providing services to children in our community who are needing extra support and learning to thrive in our community as successful individuals.
Okay. Now, the county indicated that there may be an open record period, but I don't see a request for an open record period or any description of anything that would be submitted.
That's fine. Unless somebody's requesting an open record, we don't need to do it, no.
Okay. Then with that, I will advise everyone that I will take all of the evidence and testimony into consideration. I will make a written decision in this matter, and that decision will be issued within 20 days. That concludes the record of this hearing. I thank you all for participating.